Ya Ali Madad. Al-Waiz, Rai Abu Ali Missionary, Waiz number 428.
14th of April 1998. Some questions from a student have been answered. Quite interesting. Ya Ali Madad.
Questa ricerca è una facrati, e curo in genere di queste sei anche pucciacarati, ma che la dico, quei di questi anche comfortable natologi, poi mi chiudo già, to pahai, mi chiudo to another question, ok? Anche English mi pucciacarati,
faccio
in English. Ok, faccio in English, there's no problem, guarantee, lo va a quarantena. How is health understood in our culture? Panci culture mi health che te pa understand come.
Well, you know that we are originally from India. Prior to our settlement in Africa, about 150 years ago, we came from India, or say Pakistan, because in those days India and Pakistan is the subcontinent. In our Indian culture, health is very important factor in our lives. The food was very simple in those days, and culturally it was so arranged and balanced that even during the celebrations like marriage or the religious celebrations, they used to understand whether this thing is suitable for the masses or the eaters or not. But one drawback in that cultural food was that we used to eat too much ghee or butter. And in those days it was quite all right because people were exerting their physical strength. So then again they knew what mixture of food could be suitable for human consumption. I give you for instance an example that the elders used to say that if you have eaten fish, do not consume anything made of milk or yogurt within 1 hour before or after. And it was a really very wise thing. Then again, if you have eaten any vinegar or say lemon or something like that, the yogurt and preparations of milk will not go. In those days people used to eat in the morning, in the midday, and at night very simple food. Most of the people, elderly people, they used to eat khichdi and milk. It was very simple food and also good for the tummy, because next morning they used to get easy evacuation of the bowels. So you know, food was simple, not much spicy, except the youngsters, they used to have some kind of achar or athno or pickles, what we say. We had some drawbacks also in our food for the, as I said, that people used to eat too much, and they had common sickness and disease of the digestion tract. But otherwise, in Indian culture, food is very important factor. And in olden days, when the food was simple and our food did not get anything extra of the Western style, at that time, they lived longer and healthier. But then gradually, as the spices and the foreign foods were also, like fast food and this or that, added to our diet, then the common disease like diarrhea, indigestion, headache, and all sorts of such things happened. But culturally, as I said, Indian food was very simple and good. Now the situation has changed.
Do you link health with nutrition only?
No better. Exercise is very important. As much as food is important for man's life, that much the exertion of the physical body, exercise, walking, it is very important. And in Indian way of life in those days, and Indians who lived in Africa during last 1.5 centuries, they used to give importance to exercise also. And I personally believe that without exercise, even good food will not give you that much results and benefits that is maybe possible.
Do you think there is a difference between mental health and physical health?
I don't think, because mental health depends on physical health. It is the blood which is the important factor. And but even good blood, if the circulation of blood is not to the brain as much it is necessary and needed, then in spite of physical good health, the mental health deteriorates. And mental health depends on physical health. So both are together. And with exercise, circulation of blood becomes normal and health improves. Mental health is very necessary. But again, I have found during my lifetime that there are certain type of foods that are good for our mental health, and certain type of foods are injurious to our mental health. For instance, I tell you, the nuts, dry fruit, and fresh vegetable, cheese, yogurt, they are not only good for our physical health but also equally good for the mental health. And the injurious side is too much spicy and hot and chili type of foods are not only injurious and bad for our physical health, but also it affects the mind and mental health.
Can you give us an example of how you dealt with minor sicknesses, like, you know, sometimes you get flu, cold, cough, how would you deal with
that? You know, everything in nature has a cause and its action, reaction. In our body, Allah has created in such a good manner that all arrangements are there to cure our minor diseases, sickness or illness. In our body there is a natural resistance to disease. When it weakens due to our bad habits, for instance smoking, drinking, too much spicy food, overeating, no exercise, then the defenses become weak and bacteria, they start invading certain important organs, like liver. Liver is actually a factory which produces so many kind of chemicals. And it is liver which gets the effect of bad food directly. Flu is again the result of weaker defense in the body. For that, a person who gets flu, my suggestion is always give up food, don't eat anything. Don't eat anything. Keep fast and drink as much as you can warm water, maybe a gallon or more in a whole day. If you only take water, do not take anything, within a day or two, flu will go up. Because it's a cleansing effect in the intestines. So, another thing is, when there is flu, the animal heat that our physical body has, temperature, that's what we say, temperature either drops down because of the coolness and cold, or it rises and becomes fever. So fever does not mean naturally that there is a heat in the body. That is a different factor. Fever is the reaction of the blood and liver to fight with the infection and the bacteria that are responsible for that. But otherwise, this is the simplest remedy. Give up food taking and drink water.
Support. Okay. Do you take any other remedies at home, like when you...
Yes. Some remedies are also, for instance, take a quarter teaspoon of cinnamon powder, quarter teaspoon ginger powder, and pinch of clove powder, or say one clove crushed. Mix these three things, a little honey, and eat it. Then over it, either you take a glass of warm water or a cup of tea. But then again, hesitate taking food. This is a very good remedy.
Sometimes we find that, you know, home remedies don't work. Would you go to the doctor then?
Oh yes, certainly. But you know, this particular remedy, the kitchen prescription, what I say,
yes,
it's a very good. And so many people have been benefited. I tell them, do like that. Mm-hmm. And you can add a pinch of turmeric.
Yes.
Haldi.
Haldi.
It's a very antiseptic stuff. Mm-hmm. Quarter teaspoon of turmeric in boiled milk at night. Just one cookie, just one biscuit only. And if you take it and don't take any food, this will also give you good stamina, improve your defense and resistance.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, when you go to the doctors and they prescribe you some medicine, sometimes, you know, home remedies don't work and people go to the doctors. They prescribe you remedies. Are you satisfied with those?
Yes, normally, because for small sickness and disease, there are a lot of good medicine in the market, and doctors normally prescribe. And I think they should go to doctor. If the sickness persists and do not get any effect of these home medicine, then you must go to doctor. You must go to doctor.
You know, sometimes in life, you know, we get situations when we are sad, unhappy, we experience sorrow, grief. How do you deal with situations like this?
So much difficult to answer this question universally because it is a one-on-one basis. Each situation is different. And cause and reason of each situation is also maybe varying extensively.
See, here I'm looking for an answer, like culturally.
My suggestion is tolerate, have patience and tolerance for the opposite side. And if you keep patience and tolerate it, the situation diffused, and sometime without any other efforts, situation becomes cool and calm. What I say, be a good person and forgive others' mistakes or even sometime abuse. So the best thing is to keep calm, have patience, and pray for both the parties, for yourself and for your opponent. That is the best thing. Remember God at that time.
Sometimes you're faced with illnesses, sometimes you're faced with death in our families. How do you deal with situations?
Well, both things are inevitable. Sickness is also natural. Death is also cannot be avoided. Sooner or later, everyone has to die one day. So we must understand spiritually and also logically that one day we have to die. So if someone dear to us has left us in this world and gone, well, it was inevitable. We feel it. If we drop down few cents on the ground, say 5 cents or a quarter, we stop and bow down and pick it up. So a person who leaves the family and goes to the other world, everyone has spiritual, natural feeling for it. It is but natural. But then we must have fortification. Fortitude is very necessary. Patience is necessary. And prayer also is necessary for that. There is no other remedy because the person who has died, at any cost, he will not come back. We have to tolerate that situation and keep courage. And we must also give courage to the family which is bereaved for that reason. That is the thing.
Do you draw upon Islamic sources like Quran, Farman, Qiyas to deal with an unhappy or sad situation?
Certainly, because in all these holy books, we are told to understand that it is nature which is working. It is God's will which has come down. Christians people, at the death of time, they say, O Lord, thy kingdom comes, thy will be done. And it is absolutely Islamic when we hear someone has died. So we say from Quran Sharif, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We are for God and we have to return to Him. So when we understand it, then a little peace and courage prevails. And we get fortitude, we get little peace. And we must do that.
Are there any rituals that you perform during illness or any other kind of unfortunate situation? Can you give us some examples?
One of the attributes of God is Ash-Shafi. It means the giver of good health. many times when people come to me and they inform me about their persistent sickness or disease, so then I tell them this is a kind of prayer. Say 101 times, Ya Shafi, O the giver of good health. So it is one of the attributes of Allah. And we learn it from Quran and Hadith. In that situation, we must keep our courage. Change your food, change your daily habits, so that you may not become tired and exhausted. And if possible, the situation is such that you can walk a little bit without having any adverse effect on your health, then you must walk. A little exercise improves the health of the heart. Sorry. So in that way, we must also keep calm. Many people, when they get sick, they become very much disturbed mentally. A small thing disturbs them. And many people in the family, they think that now it is the duty of everyone to stand before him in folded hands, and whatever he says, they must do it. That's not a good habit. The sick person must have courage and peace, and he must also understand that he is sick, but with his family the situation is not very good, because they are also feeling for his sickness, and they do whatever it is possible for them. So the person, a patient, must be a patient, and he should keep courage and patience so that the situation in the family does not disturb others. And he should also pray, drink more liquid, and improve his diet. No solid foods is better for anyone. The liquid food is very good in that situation. And unless doctor prescribes some special food, he should go for yogurt, milk, tea. And in disease, I think in sickness, particularly in fevers, a cup of coffee may be good also, but not too much. And spicy things must be avoided at all. Light food like ararot or khichdi or porridge, little bread, toast, these are the good things that a person in situation of this kind should keep.
Are there any other rituals that you would follow, for example?
Now it all depends upon what disease or sickness or what situation is. Yes. Now if it is in a feverish condition, I would say that I have said up. But if the situation is with injuries, wounds, then such a person should do not move much. In wounds, you must take more rest and avoid solid foods and keep your body warm unless it is necessary otherwise. And let him read something or see a very interesting program in TV so that he can keep himself with the attention diverted from his sickness to other things, so that he may get a little peace of mind, comfort. So I think this is much better. And in certain conditions, if there is fever, he should not take bath. But otherwise, even a sick person, provided there is no fever, a warm bath in the tub, it will improve his health. Then, being a missionary, I would tell that he must pray more.
Yes. So, are there any special prayers you do when you're sick?
Yes, I said that Ya Shafi is the recitation of Allah's name. This is very good. And also, there is a hadith of Rasulullah. He says that when fever comes, it removes your sins. Now, what does it mean? Remember the Indian cultural or religious side, that Indian people, they normally say it's a law of karma. Every action has its reaction, good or bad. So a fever, condition of fever, also is a reaction of some mistake that we have committed, knowingly or unknowingly, in food or otherwise. So it means that if you are sick, then your sins are being excused.
Yes.
So keep calm and you can say, "Oh God, forgive my sins. Astaghfirullah Rabbi ma tubu alayhi. Ya Shafi, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad." All these tasbihs and prayers will help him.
Can you give us some idea as to how social services can adopt some of the cultural and Islamic aspects to address issues of mental health?
Do you mean amongst the Ismaili Jamaat or normally in the public?
Public.
So with all public, we cannot just enforce the religious sides,
yes,
but the cultural sides are. You know, human being is the intelligent being against animals or whatever is the things. God's best creation is human brain. And anyone from any country, from any religious side, everyone has some kind of education of his culture, of his religion, through his family or friends. So they should also follow according to their own denomination. This will help them not only to understand and put into practice their own culture and religious side, but also it will engage them mentally and diverting the attention from pain and sickness towards that kind, and a change of attitude will take place, and this will help them. Another thing I would suggest,
yes, yes,
and it has in many cases worked, give some charity in your sickness.
Yes. How
now,
does that help?
It helps, you know, the charity goes to needy,
yes,
and destitutes. So even if they don't say thank you,
yes,
even if they don't pray for your this kind of help, God looks at that, a good deed that you have done, and it will be rewarded. And I've seen that many times, persistent and obstinate sickness has come down or weakened through charity, and many people, they became good in health.
When you say charity, does it mean charity of money or charity of time?
Many things. Charity means charity.
Yes.
But a sick person cannot do any other charity physically.
Yes.
So if he donates something,
yes,
to the needy and poor people,
yes,
so it will be rewarded.
Yes.
He will benefit it.
Yes.
But those healthy people or good people or such people, like handicapped people, if they can contribute some time or efforts, physical efforts, towards the betterment of other people,
yes,
to other human beings, so God will reward them. Any person,
yes,
even if he is a non-believer, he has been created by God.
Yes.
So you are respecting him, being created by Lord that you believe and love. So it will have a very good repercussion, and spiritually will help you, mentally will also help you, and if spiritually and mentally it is a good thing, naturally it will affect our physical being.
Mr. Sir, can you tell us a typical day in your life, like when you get up in the morning, from the time you get up in the morning till you sleep at night, what
well,
do you do?
I leave my bed around about 3 o'clock in the night. And after visiting to my washroom, I brush and then drink a glass of warm water. And then, if possible, I go to Jamaat Khana. Otherwise, I sit on the carpet and meditate for 1 hour. I pray half an hour. After that, some rituals like a rosary and a repetition of God's various names, invoking His mercy. And I pray for the whole world. And, well, around about 5:30 or 5:45, then at that time I take a cup of herbal tea. Usually I like mint and ginger powder with half a teaspoon of honey in it.
Any particular reason why you take that?
Yes. It, you know, I'm at the crossroad of 79 and 80 years. After 2 months, 3 months, I will complete my 79th year of my life, entering into 80. And in old age, the physical heat of the body reduces because of the circulation of blood and old heart. So this thing gives me good stamina, keeps my body warm. Mint and ginger powder and half a teaspoon of honey. God in Quran has mentioned about honey, olive, and fig. And He says that these are the things good for human beings. And for years, I think for past nearly 50 years, I've been using all these three things. I eat olives, use olive oil. I eat figs if I get fresh, otherwise dried. And I take honey every day, particularly in milk. And as less possible as I can, I avoid sugar. And there is no salt in my diet. Well, when I go out, I cannot press people or compel them. Then I take salt there, but at home, I don't eat salt. Salty food are very little. And then I pray. I've got some extensive program of my prayers, which normally may not be possible for common people. I watch news, world news, every day, 3 times, in the morning, afternoon, and at night. It keeps me informed and well-informed about the situation and what is going on in the world. Because I'm a part of that, the whole world. If there is an earthquake in Iran, it affects me. If there is some epidemic in Ethiopia, it affects me. So, you know, I'm a part and parcel of this 6 billion people. So I want to get information what is going on around me. So sometime it happens, watching news, I cry when I see the pathetic condition of other human beings. I cry, and at that time I pray for them. And I also get lessons from many other crimes too. Now I give you an instance. This Jonesboro, where one 11 years old and the other 13 years old, these two boys, they killed one teacher and four classmates. Horrible. it affected me very much. You know what is the reason is? The reason is those people who are in cinema and TV business for the sake of their tummy, for the sake of their money, for the sake of their profession, they are creating such films, such programs using these guns freely. And these things affect the very tender minds of youngsters. I'm dead against that. But you know, I personally cannot do anything. And those people who are responsible, like the governments, they must do something that in TV, in cinemas, this violent programs or use of guns must be stopped so that next generation at least may not get this kind of effect. So my daily routine is this also. Then I take only one meal between 2 and 3, unless I go out and have lunch somewhere on invitation. Then I take about half an hour to 40 minutes rest. Then again I read, I write. This is my research work that I'm doing every day. In the evening we get ready for Jamaat Khana for our prayers. And after coming from Jamaat Khana, we have a little supper, a toast and milk or tea, something like that. At night we don't eat. But if I have to attend any dinner, I avoid lunch so that I may be able to digest that. And then I watch some TV, good programs, particularly news and commentaries. Then I again read, and I start my prayers. And then by between 10:30 and 10:45, I go to bed. Get up around about 3 o'clock. This is my daily routine.
Daily routine. Quite good, quite active. you know, I guess you don't have any problem conversing in English with anybody.
No, not at all.
Do you interact with your neighbors?
Oh, yes, I do. You know, not only that, but often and on, I buy something, some fruit or cookies for my home, and I also buy for my 1 or 2 packets I give to my neighbors as a gesture of goodwill and our neighborhood. So, the neighbors are very good. My next door person is now a Chinese, and this side an Ismaili. No, I'm alhamdulillah very good with neighbors, and neighbors are also very good with me.
When did you come to Canada?
82. On 19th August 82, we landed at Pearson Airport in Toronto. So it is 16 years now.
16 years you've been here. Do you like it here or do you miss Tanzania?
No, I do not miss Tanzania. You know, I have been traveling all my life.
Yes.
I have seen 122 countries.
Really?
I have gone around the world nearly 6 times.
Uh-huh.
And because I have been traveling between 8 and 10 months every year, now I have reduced because of my age. But otherwise, I traveled more rather than live at home.
Really?
So I know people, I know various kinds of multiculturalism. And I know also the earth created by God and what is inside earth created by Him. So because of my traveling, I'm happy anywhere at any time. So I do not miss Tanzania, but sometimes I do remember, particularly, you know, meat and poultry and fish. We used to get fresh,
yes, yes.
F- from the sea and other sources, vegetables fresh from the garden. Here it is difficult.
Yes.
We get at least 24 hours after that.
Yes.
So this I miss. Moreover, in Tanzania, the things are grown naturally. But here the chemicals are being used, so it also affects the general health of the public. In that way, I miss Tanzania.
Do you miss any social life?
No, because my position is that wherever I go, I get the same type of social life. And if the social life is a little bit different, I enjoy it.
Mm.
But I don't miss the social life of Tanzania because I have been traveling around the world.
Were you born in Tanzania?
No, I was born in 1919 in Amritsar. The, you know, the center of Sikh people, Mecca of Sikh, Amritsar. There is Golden Temple. Our house is near Golden Temple. And 79 years ago, I was born there. Then I joined a medical college. I wanted to become a medical man. But then the circumstances, or what I say, my luck, brought me to Bombay. I joined Ismaili Mission, and I became a missionary. My whole life has gone in this profession, and I'm very happy and satisfied with my profession.
You must be coming across so many people, right?
Oh, thousands and thousands and thousands.
It must be giving you a lot of satisfaction.
Alhamdulillah,
to help
very
people
much.
People with knowledge.
Yeah. You know, few people are who are very satisfied with their profession. So amongst them, I'm one of them. I'm very satisfied because there is no grudge against anyone. There is no greed. There is no selfishness because my mission is such. And I'm a servant of the humanity. I'm a servant of God. I'm a servant of everyone.
How many children do you
have? I've got three sons and one daughter.
The all in Canada?
Yes, all. No, two in Canada, one in Tanzania, and one in the United States.
So I think we've come to the end of the interview.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle, thank you very much. You've given us so much
knowledge. You are welcome.
Thank you. Is there anything else you want to say that might
my,
help?
Yes, my message is, and I'm telling people, whatever God has given you, it is not for your own self. And mind you, you are not living. I'm telling, addressing you, but I'm telling to everyone.
Yes.
You don't live only for yourself. You live for others. For your mother, you live for your father, your husband, your wife, your children, your friends, your relatives. We are simply one brick in the building of a family and in the building of nation. We are a part and parcel, essential part and parcel of humanity on earth. So, give to others whatever you can. Your time, your money, your food, your attention, your prayers, whatever you can, do some charity. Rasulullah, Prophet of Islam, has said, even praying for others is a charity. Not only that, he said, even a smile is a charity. So, I also tell my own community people, do some charity. At least once a week, share your food with others. Invite someone at your house or take someone to out. Give him food and you eat with him. Once a week, if you do it, it will give you a lot of satisfaction and peace of mind. My message is this. Do some charity in any way you can.
Thank you, Vishnu.
It's all right. You are like my child, my daughter, and I know.